Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
9.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Cold weather's coming, and once again, we partnered up with the Washington State Council Firefighters and Operation Warm for Coats for Kids. The goal is to put 2,500 brand new coats on kids in Needham here in Washington State. $25 puts a brand new American-made coat on a kid that needs one over the winter. So if you could, please donate $25 now. One coat's great. If you can give any more than that, that would be awesome,
too. Even if you can just give less. Every little bit, man, it all adds up, right?
Absolutely. KISW.com, 2,500 kids. Obviously, if we could just get a few more than that, that would be...
outstanding.
That would be better. So donate what you can right now at KISW.com. We're talking about amusement parks. People having, some not-so-great experiences. Florida woman is suing SeaWorld Orlando after a duck allegedly struck her in the face while she was riding the Mako roller coaster. She was knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
The lawsuit filed in Orange County claims that SeaWorld failed to keep the ride area safe and did not warn visitors about potential bird strikes, a risk the suit argues is heightened by the coaster speed. It was going about 73 miles an hour when the duck hit her in the face.
Actually, it was not a duck.
It was not a duck?
I just read it today.
Territorial.
It was like sea egret or something like that.
Okay.
Not that it matters, the splitting hairs here, but it wasn't a duck.
Well, they're saying that the coaster is over water, so it's over a lake.
Okay.
All right. So, yes, birds do land there. The complaint contends that these factors combine to create a zone of danger for collisions with birds, especially ducks, gulls, and geese, and that the ride's design may even disorient birds, making collisions more likely. Now, the woman who's seeking at least $50,000 in damages in a jury trial says the incident left her with permanent injuries, both physical and mental, and has diminished her quality of life. Now, here's the update. SeaWorld is now pushing back against the lawsuit. In a court filing, they said the woman was, in fact, hit by a snowy egret, a type of small white heron. This matter does not and has never involved a duck, Park said.
I like that sort of defense.
SeaWorld is seeking to have the lawsuit dismissed because it's not responsible for a wild animal's actions. The park's lawyers noted that the woman refused medical attention because she wanted to keep going in the park.
Right.
And did not want to be held up any longer. They also rejected the lawsuit's claim that having a coaster near water created a zone of risk, saying the incident could have occurred regardless of the presence of any body of water within the park.
Yeah.
So our question, how did a positive situation turn upside down? 206-803-ROCK.
Right. It's a wild animal.
Yeah. And they're like, look, man, we did not design this coaster to provoke birds to fly into the faces of the people that visit our park. That's bad for business. But we have no control over where the bird's going to fly, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all. So I get the feeling it'll be dismissed. Although, full credit to the lady, at least it's only $50,000. Usually when people try to sue amusement parks, it's like millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah,
right? So
yeah.
I'm kind of shocked it's that low. But yeah, they got no control over that. Hello, Brandon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. So about, I would say maybe about 10 years ago, I was in my mid-20s. I reached out to one of my friends in high school that I went with when I was living in Central California. And they were like, hey, you should come visit sometime. And I had already had a good income at the time. So I'm like, oh, this will be fun. My first road trip on my own. And so trying to think. So I planned the weekend and I said, okay, this is the dates I'm going to be down there. Would that work for you? And they're like, sure. So I'm excited. And I decided to go down all the way to California, spend like a night somewhere in Oregon, and then spend a day, you know, or two in California. Well, I got there and I messaged them and I was like, hey, I'm here. You know, what would you like to do? Where would you like to meet up? And I never got a response the whole time. And so I'm like, okay, I'll stay another night. Maybe they're busy, whatnot. And then the next day it's the same thing. They completely ignored me. And then
once again, bedroom colors, here are the seven words you can't say on the radio. Sucker, mother, and please keep those words in mind when calling. Now back to the program.
All right, Brandon.
Very
no more
sorry,
brown.
Very sorry.
Yeah, we get it, man. We get it.
So anyways, I was like, okay, forget it. I'm going home. And then I went ahead and I went ahead and drove all the way back like 16 hours in one day, and I was just so fuming. And then a few days later they're like, oh, sorry.
What was their explanation?
I don't know. It was a bull poo-poo reason. So,
well, maybe they didn't want to hang out with you.
I guess.
I mean, yeah. Long story short on that, they're like, oh God, he's actually here.
How long had you known these people?
Yeah. Oh, I've known them since I was like in freshman of high school, and I was like 25 at that time.
Huh. All right.
Okay.
But they never really explained why they completely blew you off.
They never explained it. It was just.
Well, hopefully the last time you ever talked to him.
Yep, that was completely it. I was like, I'm done with this.
Okay. Yeah, fair.
God damn, man. Especially a long-ass drive like that, man. I would be livid. Yeah, without a doubt. Like, just answer the phone, at least. And then just lied to me about something. Oh, man, I don't know. She broke her ankle. We had to go to the hospital. Anything. Not just completely ignore it. Damn, man.
Good times.
That's why I hate road trips.
Hiker in Colorado owes his life to a friend's quick thinking and a simple belt after a dangerous fall in a mountain near Buena Vista. The group was 10,000 feet on the North Sheep Mountain, a steep, trailless peak with challenging rock terrain, when one of them slipped and tumbled 200 feet down the mountain, suffering multiple head injuries and coming to rest head down on a slope with a drop, with the injured hiker at the risk of sliding even further. A friend then took off his belt and used it to tie the injured man to a fallen tree. And that bought some time until help could arrive late Sunday afternoon. The Chaffee County Rescue and Rescue North team received a call at sunset and triggered a risky mission that stretched through the night. Rescuers split into two teams. One climbed up to the group with ropes and supplies, while the others waited below with a rescue litter. There was rock falling all night long. Jeez. From the team trying to get him down. People would scream, "Rock!" And in the dark, you'd hear these huge boulders slam into the trees next to us. It was terrifying. The injured hiker ultimately lowered 1,600 feet in the dark in freezing temperatures.
Wow.
He was loaded onto an ambulance nearly 11 hours after the rescue began. They did some at the top before they started walking back down.
All right.
They did credit the group with carrying essentials, including a communication device, but noted the accident may have been caused by the group's lack of knowledge about the difficult mountain.
Uh-huh.
I just don't think you want to mess with Mother Nature in some instances. You just got to know when to turn around.
I don't think you ever want to mess with Mother Nature, right? Like, if you think it's a bad idea, it probably is.
Yeah.
I feel like hiking, though, is much more, like, I don't know. When people have a healthy fear of water.
Yeah.
It's like when you're in the ocean, right? Like, some people are just like, I'm not getting in there. Some people are like, the waves are too big.
Right.
For some reason, and look, I've done it before with hiking, where it's just like, it's fine.
We're just walking.
Right? And then by the time you kind of get there, it's like, this is not fine. We are idiots. But it just, for whatever reason, hiking to me, lends itself to that. Because you're right. You're like, well, we're just walking.
Yeah, I'm done walking. I'm not, quote unquote, mountain climbing. I'm just walking, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. With the ocean, people definitely
put a few twists and ankles there, or you do something like you rip your knee out, or whatever you do. You take a hard fall, whatever. You're screwed.
Yep.
You I mean, even just screwed. Like look, right? Like, isn't that like part of like living in Seattle? Right? You got to do Mount Si.
Sure.
Right. I think everybody in here has done it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go up to the haystack. Right. But Miles, right? You could easily twist an ankle. That would suck to be on top of that mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last little scrambles, when we were in Alaska, right? It was a flat top.
Although there were like boulders flying down the hill the entire time.
Like the scramble, I was actually angry at that point when we were climbing up. Because in my head, I'm like, why are you doing this? You were not equipped to do this. Now, look, obviously, we made it to the top. The view was great, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, when I'm climbing up that thing, I'm like, this is the stupidest thing you've ever done. I think I was wearing tennis shoes. Yep. I mean, like, everything about this. My brother, you are not a mountain man.
Yeah.
And now you're climbing up this freaking sheer wall just... We got to the top. I'm like, okay, I felt a lot better. But coming down was more terrifying. So that's when that freaking boulder went rolling by, man. It's just like,
it was in the fog, too, so you couldn't see.
Yeah.
Dog Miles almost killed me twice. We were at Seaside at one point in time, and he really liked chasing a tennis ball into the easier waves.
Yeah.
You know, like just the ones that are rolling up. You know, like when you look at the Pacific Ocean from that area, it looks like it's just got steps to it of waves.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of big, you know, big crashers are out there, but, you know, as they roll in, you really don't know how far they're going to come in, like a creeper wave or whatever.
Right.
Well, he's going for this ball, and the ball keeps getting sucked back out. You know, like the wave is receding.
Yeah.
The ball's flying with it. And I look right where he is going is just the middle of a rip current that you can physically see. I mean, you can physically see this rip, and it's just pulling everything like in a funnel straight out. And that's where he's at. So I go sprinting at his ass, grab him by the collar, and I am leaning back with both hands with around his neck, and I'm trying to pull back toward the shore because the water and the sand are pulling us out, and I'm watching this rip current. The water's freezing freaking cold.
Of course.
So, but I thought, if somehow this dog dies, then I'm dead. Because my wife will absolutely kill me. But, man, I've never been in the mouth of that before and just realized, because I was probably up to my thighs in water.
Yeah.
It was freezing cold, but I've never been pulled like that before. It was just absolutely insane. And I'm trying to hold on to a 60-pound dog. So I finally drag his ass back. You know, ball's gone, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
But he still wants to go after the ball.
Yeah.
So he's fighting me to go after this ball. So that was one where my heart was pounding. I was just like, when I got out of that water... I was like, Jesus Christ, man, we almost died.
What exactly causes those rip currents? Like,
I don't know.
What is it?
Just something, by the way, the tides work in the water, but it just...
Yeah.
I mean, it's just weird, you know, because you're watching waves crash towards you, right? They're coming directly towards you, but then these currents are sideways under that.
It looked like you were looking down river on whitewater, like rapids.
Yeah.
The middle of it was just fired out. You know, like everything else was coming in.
And they only last so long, but it's just scary, and your instinct is to swim against it, and that's how people die.
Yeah. Yep.
The other time was the Golden Gardens. Not Golden Gardens. Discovery Park. There's an area up on the cliff where they have this big sand area, all right?
Yeah.
There's a couple little lookouts up there, and you're kind of in the flat portion where you can see the sound and everything else. But there's just a huge-ass cliff that goes all the way down to the bottom of the sound. And he took off. It went over this cliff. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, I am not good with heights. And all that sand is very soft. So when you start trying to get down that cliff, you are not supposed to be going down that cliff. The ground is just coming out from under you.
Of course.
Like, you're just sliding down this thing. And he's down there whining, like, you know, trapped between two trees and looking up at me. And I'm like, God damn it, man. And where he was, it was about a 30-foot drop straight down.
Yeah.
So it was a sheer face cliff where he had stopped. So if he'd have gone any farther, he'd have gone over the cliff. But at the same time, I got to go to that cliff's edge, pick his ass up, and see how I'm going to crawl with this freaking 60-pound dog back up the hill. And
are there other people around?
No. Nobody would go down there. They got signs. At least they used to. Like, don't go over the cliff, you dumbass. But I had to get the dog. And God damn, man, that was another one of those things. Like, that was probably like 2 weeks after the Oregon experience. It's like, that dog is going to freaking kill me.
How long did it take you to...
And the idea is to take the dogs out for a stroll on the beach. The idea is
take
the dogs around the Discovery Loop, you know, like 2.5 miles, whatever it is. It's not the big thing, but that was always part of the plan in the morning. We got to get out and do something with the dogs before we do our thing.
Aye.
So, but twice in 2 weeks, the thing almost killed me.
How long did it take you, basically, to go down this cliff, then get back up?
At one point in time, after I got around this side.
Because what was the plan to get up? Like, to get straight down to the dog?
Straight right. up. And he's got crampons on, so I'm trying to push his ass and find something to kind of hold myself in on, like a tree, and just push him slowly up the hill, stop him. Then I try to go, get my footing down again, push his ass up the hill again.
Oh, my God.
It took a half an hour. It took a half an hour.
Yeah.
And she just stood up there on the top with the other dog, like,
I mean, is she saying anything or is she just watching?
She was too far up. She's probably like 100 yards up. So she was just kind of watching to see what I was trying to do. I was trying to get around that cliff and just try to go down to the bottom of the beach.
Yeah.
I thought if I get down there, man, surely I could walk to, I don't know, Magnolia or something.
Yeah.
And find a way up, you know, in a private beach house. But that was my next plan until I finally just said, hell with it. And picked his ass up and army crawled all the way up to the top of the hill.
God almighty, dude.
Yeah, that was...
I don't like that dog much anyway. Jesus.
Almost killed me twice.
He didn't like Miles.
That's a good point.
No, the dog didn't like me either.
Even though he keeps saving his life.
Right.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Exactly. Our question, how did a positive situation turn upside down? 206-803-ROCK. More animal stories. This one Mike's got coming up in the headlines. Spectators at a Christmas parade in Tennessee were treated to a surprise scene when a black bear wandered onto the road and walked the entire parade route.
So this was not part of the parade. This is just a random ass bear.
This is a bear walking along with the floats, with the marching bands, with the Shriners, with everything else.
Those and tiny little cars trying to get away.
Yeah, it's like how the Macy's parade used to be. Except there was no handler. This was just a wild bear.
This was just a big ass black bear walking down the middle of the parade
room. Oh, hey, buddy.
But the thing is there are kids sitting on the side of the street.
Yeah, obviously. They're always up front, right? Yeah.
Amanda Snook Page captured photos showing the bear walking down the route of the Gatlinburg 50th Annual Fantasy of Lights Christmas Parade. Unclear how much of the route the bear walked, but another witness captured video of a Bruin that was probably the same animal feasting on trash after the parade. They joked on social media the bear was such a hit with spectators that the organizers should have made him the grand marshal of the parade. People actually just stood there and froze and watched this bear walk down the middle of the road.
So they did recognize that it was not part of the parade.
Yes.
It would take a second, though.
Yeah, I would just assume, like, huh, I wonder where the trainer is. Right. Then once it clicked in my head that there's a bear wandering, I'm leaving the parade.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're right. Obviously, you should be like, that's a bear. But I think, honestly, if I was standing there, I'd be like, oh, cool.
That would
they
be
got
my
a
initial
bear
thought.
In this Christmas parade.
But no one really moved. That was the thing. They just kind of let the thing wander.
Well, I guess if it's not doing anything, and it's just kind of like, you don't want to do anything to alarm it.
Like correct.
Yeah, if it seems cool, like, be cool. But it did the whole parade route.
It did the majority of the parade route down the middle of the street, which I thought was pretty fascinating.
That's actually pretty cool, man. Yeah. Sort of.
How did I,
there is some people that are like, get out of the way. I'm just rewatching the video. And you just hear one guy go, that's an actual bear. Yeah, see?
Hey, look, that is a big-ass bear, too, man.
And there's people everywhere.
Right, you can see him slowly react. It's like that guy, like, yeah, we'll get out of our chairs. But he's just cruising around.
Ooh.
Yeah, no. There's people just sitting there. Like, I don't know what I would do. I think I would probably just freeze as well and be like, is this part of it?
I mean, I guess if no one else is moving, then I wouldn't move. Because then you're feeling singled out, mm-hmm. right? The bear's going to chase you, but I don't know how comfortable I would have been there.
Yeah, and then he just kind of runs through a parking lot.
Wow.
Starts eating some trash.
That was a big-ass bear.
Well, in the bear's defense, that's smart thinking. All those people on the street, there's got to be trash. There's children. He's probably like, oh, those kids are going to drop their funnel cakes.
And if they don't, I can eat the kid.
That's very specific.
Yes.
How did a positive situation turn upside down? 206-803-ROCK.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
The free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio.
You're in the men's room.
Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Your guess is as good as mine. Cut up to 4:30. Our categories today, we have the NFL teams with the most expensive fan experience and the least.
All right.
Expensive fan experience. I'll let you pick either category.
All right.
As far as if you want to go, the stadiums you think it's going to take a lot of money to get in and enjoy Sunday football, or the ones that are the cheapest in the NFL?
I would be more confident, I think, guessing the cheap ones, because usually, it's kind of commensurate with the team's record, right?
Correct. Yes.
Not Dallas necessarily. You know, it wouldn't be Pittsburgh or Baltimore, but usually if your team is notoriously bad, I think the one exception might be the Raiders. Because they're a god-awful team, right?
But the Las Vegas experience is always going to cost a little bit more money.
Exactly.
And people go there just because it's Vegas.
Yeah, they said a lot of Vegas fans are irritated because they're like, man, every time we go to the stadium, it's at least 50% the other team's fans. Because once you see that your team's playing in Vegas, like, you'll buy those tickets and plan a whole trip. Hell, we did.
Also, we have just released today the 15 cities with the worst traffic here in the United States. As just last year alone, there was an increase in 11%. As far as the time on the roads and the cost associated with traffic, just 11% in 1 year. So it's gone. I'll tell you what, with that category, if you get 10 out of the 15 right, I'll give it to you.
I'll tell you what, man, I was in Houston over the weekend, and you talk about some aggressive drivers. Just everybody, man. It did not matter what kind of vehicle it was. They are super aggressive down there. They don't blinkers mean nothing. They will cut you off. I mean, it's on a highway doing 80 miles an hour, man, and there's maybe 3 feet between cars, but I just, my brother and I were like, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah.
And guess how much gas was there, Ted?
$2.50.
We're not paying that much, man. It was $2.17.
Damn.
Yeah, they could not believe it, because I'm like, damn, man, $2.17. And they're kind of like, well, yeah, it's gone down a little bit, but it's still so expensive. And I'm like, dude, it's like $4.80-something in Seattle. They didn't even believe me until my parents corroborated. Like, yes, it's almost twice as much in Seattle as it is in Houston. It's unreal.
That's crazy. Our question, how did a positive situation turn upside down? 206-803-ROCK. Do you guys have any from vacation experiences before where things did not go as planned, so to speak?
I mean, the one that always comes to mind for me was I had a good trip down to Costa Rica, right? At the station that I worked for at the time, they'd sent me down there, and it was the opening of a new, like, casino or sport book or something like that. Anyway, went to the grand opening. That was cool. That 70s show was still on TV at the time, and the four main leads, they were down there. David Alan Greer, he was there, okay? Just quick side thing about David Alan Greer. About 2 years later, we had the opportunity to interview him, and he was very grumpy, clearly did not want to do an interview, didn't want to say anything, and he was just, I mean, just being a D, right?
Yeah.
So we go to break. And all I said to him, I was like, oh, hey, man, you know, I met you once before a couple years ago in Costa Rica in that room. And then he opened up a lot more. I will not share what I witnessed him doing in that room. But just by saying that much, he was kind of like, oh, yeah, okay. So then he was more than willing to talk to us. But coming back, they changed my flight. They changed my flight while I was already in the air. Right. So I have my ticket. I get on the plane. I think I was supposed to fly. Oh, so the flight I had booked takes me to Miami, then from Miami back up to Baltimore. I land in Miami, having a hard time trying to get my connecting flight, and the woman says, well, sir, you're supposed to be in Dallas. I'm like, what? She goes, well, they changed your flight. I'm like, when did they change my flight? And she's being no help, all right? So she looks at the computer. She tells me what time they changed the flight. So I was already, I was like over the Gulf of Mexico at the time you changed my flight. I mean, what am I supposed to, like, open the door, jump the hell out, and sweat? I was like, what do you want me to do, man? I did not change this. You guys changed it. But based on the time you said you changed it, my flight had already taken off. So that's why I'm here. I just want to get my connection to Baltimore. They would not let me get on that plane. Because
what?
Again, because in their mind, I was supposed to be in Dallas. And I'm like, man, okay. I understand that. I get it.
I came out the door.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm in Miami. I got off of that plane, and I'm showing her my ticket. And she's like, right, but they changed your flight. I said, but we both agreed, based on the time that you said my flight was changed, I was in the air.
So was there another flight you could take?
24 hours later.
No.
Oh, yeah. I just spent a night in the Miami airport because I said, well, can I get a voucher like for one of the cheap hotels on premise? She's like, no, we don't do that. I'm like, look, I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just saying, like, I want to
they
get
apparently
home.
Are.
They yeah, I won't say what airline it was, but for about 10 good years, I refused to fly them. I'm like, I'm
I don't blame
not
you.
Giving these people my money. And it turns out someone from another airline, so I won't say what airline I was on, but the person who worked at Delta overhears me having this conversation with this lady. So Delta ended up hooking me up.
Nice.
Yeah. That's how
I like Delta, dude.
Oh, I deep appreciation.
The only problem I have with Delta is flying into Atlanta. Everything you do, you got to fly into Atlanta, which I understand that's their hub.
Sure.
It's like United in Chicago. You got to go through that one way or another. And Chicago sucks in the wintertime because you're rolling the dice every time you're.
Oh, yeah.
And I just had that trouble over the Thanksgiving holiday as well. So, like, I know the weather situation that can happen and all that crap.
Yeah. My wife and I were invited to a birthday celebration a few years back down in Las Vegas, Nevada. Beautiful, yep. Las Vegas.
All right.
We're going to go gangbusters for our 30th. Never been to Vegas, so let's go on down there. All right, cool. The wife and I have been to Vegas multiple times. We'll show you guys the ropes, show you around, you know, teach you some of the tricks for getting around here. This person didn't quite understand just how Vegas operates.
Right.
So there's certain things that, you know, they know that they can do. There's big guns that they can shoot that they want to do, sure, down there. There's go-karts that go a lot faster than your normal go-karts do that he wants to take part in down there. And, of course, there's just drinking all the world over. So the first night there, we walk over to one of the, like, CVS, Rite Aid, whatever it is. It's got liquor there. And so he buys himself two bottles of very, very nice liquor. He buys himself, like, a Don Julio something.
All right.
And then I forget what whiskey that he bought himself. But still, this is nicer stuff than you should be buying for the room at Vegas when you're kind of I'm on a budget, as it were.
Yeah.
But as we're going, we keep telling him, like, dude, pop the bottle. Let's start drinking. And he says, no, we need to be sober. You know, they told us that we need to be sober in order to go and shoot the big gun. You know, he wants to shoot a Barrett 50 cal. He wants to shoot a Tommy gun, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But you got to be sober in order to do it. So he's not popping this bottle. And I'm sitting there looking at him like, buddy, sober means you're able to walk under your own power here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he didn't. He refused to drink throughout the entirety of the time. He took maybe 2-3 shots out of those bottles combined throughout the entirety of the trip, and he ended up pouring both bottles out before he got to the airport.
All because you can't put them on the plane.
Correct.
Right. Did he have a good time?
He did. Like, we had fun. Like, they haven't been back since because it's just not quite for them. But it's like, you guys...
Or what does he care if you guys were drinking it?
No, he didn't care too much that we were drinking. He just wasn't, you know...
He wasn't going to do it.
Correct.
He won't participate in fun. Did he get to fire his guns?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. We got video evidence of him shooting the guns, and it was all fun and whatnot.
So after that, did he loosen up, or was he still...
A little bit, but he had left his bottles at the hotel room, and I had my bottles with me. I had some cheap, like, Svedka vodka in my backpack,
right,
that we were just taking pulls off of the rest of the day.
See, you did it right.
Right.
Worst thing that's ever happened to me in Vegas was just... Look, I went down there for New Year's Eve. They have fireworks. They had the whole deal back then. They had... the guy was Robbie Knievel.
Oh, yeah.
Evil Knievel's son. He was going to jump the...
The volcano,
outside of the Mirage.
All right.
While the Mirage was still open. So, and I ended up talking to that guy and having a few beers. Turns out at the time he was living in Western Washington, which was kind of a weird conversation.
Maybe say he was just kind of beat up a little bit.
He was the guy that wears a do-rag all the time.
Right.
You know, like,
he had a reality show for a while.
Wasn't he like always drunk or something like
that? He's always.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So not like
fun. Like, one of the episodes, I mean, it was his show, and he shows up in some small town in Utah or something. It just gets completely hammered at the dinner, and it's like insulting the mayor.
Oh,
so
geez.
He's doing this for like he's jumping this thing for like Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve.
Okay, yeah,
and like most of those things, they are taped.
Yeah,
so they act like they're live, but they're not live. So he's going to jump this thing 2 or 3 times before they get the right take.
Blah, blah, blah.
But the night before this and stuff, I'm at the they had a little Beatles bar in there. And I'm sitting there having some drinks. And he comes in, and the only seat beside me is open. So he sits down and starts talking to me. And
did you recognize him before?
No, I had no idea who he was. I just asked him, you know, like, what he's asking me, what are you doing here, blah, blah, blah. And so we start drinking, talking about Western Washington, because he lived somewhere over on the peninsula. But he is hammered. And he goes, hey, man. He's like, I'm tired of paying for beer at the bar. Do you want to go outside and drink some of my beers out there? And I was like, what do you mean outside? He's like, oh, I got my RV parked out front. This is like Cousin Eddie. And I'm like, underneath the awning of the entrance to the Mirage Hotel, he's got his RV parked. And it is not a newer RV. It does sound like one the band travels in.
Right.
This thing is like tan. You know, it's got like a Ford in it from like
Winnebago.
1978.
Yeah.
It is an old, old RV. And so I didn't take him up on the offer initially, but the guy, the bartender at the time, he goes, when Robbie left, he goes, do you know who that is? And I said, he's the guy who's going to jump the volcano, right? And he's like, yeah, but that's Evel Knievel's son, Robbie Knievel. I was like, oh, think I've heard that name before. That makes sense. Now I know why he's out here. He goes, here's the kicker for you, brother. He's like, he is like the entertainment for our New Year stuff. Other than the volcano blowing up, he's going to jump it. So we offer him a penthouse suite. We offer him one of the best rooms in the hotel because he is an entertainer at the Mirage. And he's like, it's a stock bar. He's like, it's completely comped. The room is comped. He's like, food service is comped. So he was taking advantage of the food service, but he was getting it delivered to his Winnebago out front.
Yeah, that seems about right for that.
So the guy tells me all this stuff. He's like, man, he's like, there is a liquor cabinet up there. He's like, there's a full bar. There's everything you need. He's like, it's
why
got
is he
two-
just sticking in the RV?
Because that's where he wants to be.
Because he's that kind of guy?
Okay.
Yeah, he wants to be in the RV. Anyway, he ends up jumping the volcano, blah, 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 blah.
Did you see him do it?
Oh, yeah. So I'm doing like 2 or 3 times.
All right.
It was cool, man. Because, you know, like, I mean, I was basically sitting on the hood of his RV because I already knew the guy drinking his Bud Lights. Because
that's right. You said Bud Light. Like, that is the beer he drinks and
so
nothing
else. So I'm like, you know, man, yes, I'll have some of your beers. I'm out there chugging beers in the parking lot, which is a little bit weird because it's the front of the hotel. But so he makes the first jump, makes a second jump, makes a third jump. They're like, all right, cool. That's a take. It was actually pretty cool to watch him do this. It was not nearly as cool as watching the guys that were down at the Red Festival one year who were doing all the trick stuff, who were doing like the loops.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the stunt riders. Like, he's just jumping a big bike over a fake volcano that's, you know, blowing whatever off the top.
Yeah.
But it was still cool to watch him do it because...
Well, at least he successfully did it. Like I said, his dad, Evel Knievel, you know, the hero to all boys who are our age, like, I never saw him successfully complete a stunt. He would do a couple of things, like the warm-up crap, kind of, but whatever the big event was, the big televised event, like, all right, here it comes, whatever he's going to jump. And, I mean, every single time I watched him, dude went down in flames, take him out on a stretcher, and the ambulance drove his ass off.
So they blow up the fireworks at midnight all down the strip. They actually close the strip, so you can't drive your car down it or anything like that. They kind of open it up so you can just walk around on the street, which is a pretty cool experience. At this point in time, they'll have been there for 3 days. And the next day...
By the way, Robbie Knievel died.
Ooh.
In 2023?
Yeah.
In Reno.
Oh!
He had pancreatic cancer, but I'm just like, Reno.
That's about par for the course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
exactly.
We're supposed to fly out New Year's Day. Not a big deal, except for the fact that there was a huge storm here in Seattle. Again, you know, we were up until 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on pretty good. Our flight was around 9:30 or 10, so it wasn't unreasonable, but it was still early considering the late night. And this was before the age of the Alaska Airline app letting you know.
Oh, right, that your flight's delayed or whatever.
Been delayed or any of that stuff. You kind of, I'm sure there was a way to get online and look at it, but at the time, it's just, you know, it's not on your phone. We don't have a computer or anything. So at any rate, we get to the airport, and we see the flight is canceled. Now we're already packed up.
Yeah.
We are checked out of the hotel room. The entire deal. Ice storm in Seattle. We're not going to be able to get any planes in there. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. I'm like, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? It's one more day. It's Vegas. Vegas is completely shut down. The entire town is shut down. They have college football games on.
Sure.
The sports betting areas were a little bit more
I'm sure the sports books
populated,
are probably still open.
But, that really was it. Like, you could walk through the casino. There's just nobody there. Like, everybody, all of the employees have basically left. They get, like, a two-week period of time after, you know, New Year's Day where Vegas kind of just shuts down.
Yeah.
There's no performances. There's no nothing. So we just sat, and we're still trying to get updates on our flight. We were there for 2 more days.
Jesus.
And by now...
With nothing to do,
it's
right?
You go downstairs, you rip a couple cigarettes... You play the slots. Like, most of the restaurants were closed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no movies. There's nothing. There is nothing going on in Vegas. And you walk around, and it's a ghost town, which is not the worst thing in the world, but there's just absolutely nothing to do.
Yeah, having nothing to do
also
sucks.
You needed to check back into that hotel room. And
was the rate lower?
Oh, it was much. Yeah, after the New Year's Eve was ridiculous.
Well, New Year's Eve, too. Like, I have some friends that went down there to watch a show at the Sphere.
Okay.
So my one buddy that was planning it just, I don't know, brain fart, whatever. He just didn't think about the fact it was New Year's Eve. So they're all like, and they've already been hanging out during the day, indulging. Let's go to get dinner at 7 o'clock. I was like, it's 7 o'clock on New Year's Eve.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can't just walk in and grab dinner.
Right.
Like, everything's packed. So then, like, the group's, like, split up.
You know what I mean? And I'm just like, hey, you got to factor that in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, restaurants in general, you know, get packed. Like, I was telling Mike last week, New Year's Eve was always like, with my dad, we'd always go to like a fancy dinner or something and then do whatever at night. But yeah, like he was in
Vegas. You had a reservation, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Like every restaurant they tried to walk into was just like, they basically got laughed him out of there. Like, no.
I think New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day. Like that was the other one where we just knew for a fact. Like, look, man, if you don't have a reservation, there's almost no restaurant in this country that has a table for you.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't. And people, they hang out much longer on Valentine's Day because, you know, it's all lovey and this is their one nice meal they're going to eat or whatever. So I always hated working it. It sounds weird, right? But everything's a two top, right? And or any other day, maybe it's a four top, maybe get an eight top. It's that's actually easier to deal with because it's kind of fewer tickets, so to speak. Yeah. But Valentine's Day, man, every ticket has two of everything, right? The menu is always different for whatever reason. I don't know why restaurants do it. I hated doing it when I was working in restaurants. Like, they picked our restaurant because they like our food. So why on Valentine's Day, the one day you're guaranteed to be packed, do we serve everything other that's normally on the menu? Yeah, God, it's
Then Alaska gets all the way down at the very end of the terminal. And we were walking back and forth because they kept canceling our flights.
Right.
Now, it's like, is this flight going to get out at 7 o'clock at night? Turns out, no. So then again, you get back into a cab, you go back and check into a hotel room again. And checking into a hotel room, I don't care if there's no one in line in Vegas. It still takes an hour and 75 minutes to check into a hotel room in Vegas.
It's unbelievable how long it takes in Vegas.
What is going on there, but it takes forever. So the process, and then you're unpacking, you know, your toiletries, your clothes.
That's the
trying to figure out where to go get dinner. Is this flight really leaving at 7 a.m. the next morning? Blah, 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 blah.
And how long have you been wearing the same pair of underwear?
I was to the point where, well, I mean, I was changing clothes as best I could. But, I mean, I did not pack for 5 days in Vegas.
That's what I'm saying. At some point, yeah.
And then the other one that was the most messed up thing. I'm pretty sure this was me coming back from going to see my kid in San Diego. She went to school down there. And so I went down to see her for a couple days over the holidays. Now, I am the one who messed this up. I want to say that I flew out of Painfield.
All right.
Or could be, no, I flew out of Painfield. Flew out of Painfield, flew down to San Diego, spent the time with my girl. Then I'm flying back home, and I just, my ticket is my ticket, flying into Seattle, whatever time, right? So I don't realize when I booked this flight, I used all Seattle airports instead of one specifically. Now, my car is parked in Everett at Boeing Field up there, all right? My flight back is in SeaTac.
Oh.
Okay? This doesn't even dawn on me when I get on the plane.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it still has not crossed my mind yet that there was no flight back to Payne Field. The only flight that was available was the one into SeaTac. I took the flights they offered me.
Yeah.
I did not see where those two flights were originating and coming into. I just, Seattle. You know what I mean? I'm flying into that. So we land in SeaTac, and I'm just like, Jesus Christ, man. This is like, it's 10 o'clock at night. And I'm just like, oh my God, my car is in Everett. You know, I need to go get my car.
Yeah.
So I took about 150, which was expensive at the time, a $150 Uber all the way from SeaTac to Payne Field to then just drive another 35, 40 minutes back home.
And the direction from when you just came.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was just like, I am the biggest idiot in the world. Like, who is this stupid? And plus, parking was like another $150, too.
So I mean, I could see overlooking that a little bit. You know, I'm leaving Seattle. I go to San Diego. Then I return to Seattle, right? I would not have thought about it either, man.
But the weather sucked. It's like, so we flew into bad snow. Then, you know, the Uber driver's going 5 miles an hour. Once you get up to Everett, like, it ices over a little bit more.
Yeah.
The road's a little bit more slick up there for whatever reason. I think it's below or above the rain shadow.
Did you not check it after you booked it?
No. I never even looked at it. I just, you know, put it in your wallet, download your...
Yeah, I wouldn't think to look either.
I'm flying down.
I check it all the time.
But you're probably right to do
just
that.
Just to make sure.
Right.
No, I didn't think about it.
Especially because, like, a lot of times when I fly to, you know, D.C. or Baltimore, you can hit all airports. But, like, I got to be specific whether I'm going, if I'm visiting family closer to Baltimore, BWI. If it's my brother in Virginia, Dulles. But, like,
because there's what,
2 days beforehand, I'll check it just to make sure I didn't screw it up.
Especially on the way back. I can handle a different airport getting there or whatever. Like, I fly in that's fine. But, you know, other than that, like, I am in. Because I thought to myself, where did I park? Like, nothing was dawning on me. Even when we
How long did it take you to figure out, like, after you get to SeaTac, how long before you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm
yes. up the road.
Well, because normally I take a picture of where I park my car. Remember? Right. And I'm like, what level did I park on? Where? Because I'm walking toward the parking garage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, which is not bad because I needed to get an Uber anyway.
Sure.
But at the same time, I'm like, oh my God. Like, it all dawned on me. Like, it was a very early flight out. So, you know, I just, you drive up, get on the plane, you leave. I did, you know, I think I slept the entire flight. So I didn't even think about it. And then when I land, I'm like, you've got to be effing kidding me. You've got to be effing kidding
that
me.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. I had to fly to Houston this weekend, and the hotel said the Spark by Hilton. It's on the hotel, on the airport property, but it's still a good distance away from the airport. So I get off the plane. There's me and one other guy. And that airport is so freaking big. The International Airport in Houston, maybe Bush Airport, whatever it is. So just finding how to get outside was a challenge. I finally get out there. I'm just tired because it's an overnight flight, whatever. And I'm waiting for the shuttle to pick my ass up and take me to the Spark by Hilton. No problem. So the guy rolls up, two people get out, and I walk up. And he's like, can I help you? I said, this is the shuttle for the Spark by Hilton, as it says on the side. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm like, all right, cool. He's like, well, you can't get in yet. I'm like, why not? He's like, I actually have to call it in. I'm like, I'm literally standing here talking to you, man. So I had to call the hotel, and then she has to verify all my information. And she's like, well, he should be there shortly. I said, I'm literally standing next to the guy now. She's like, well, why did you call? I said, he said that I have to call. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's a protocol. I'm just like, okay, all right, man. Then I get in. Real nice guy. But I'm like, yeah. That was so stupid. He's like, it is. He goes, but if you don't call it in and I drop your ass off, I will actually get in trouble. It's like, okay.
Your guess is as good as mine. Cut up our categories today. The cost of the NFL experience and the 15 worst cities in the United States for traffic. And we've got your emails coming up next to the men's room at KISW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.